that we would use in English. You can praise anybody. Here we go. Nice shoes. So praise can be a thing that we can give to anybody or to anything, I guess. But worship seems to me to be something different. Now, when praise is spoken about in the Bible, it goes through a bunch of different words. Now, these first few words, I believe, are Hebrew, and I haven't bothered to find them in the Hebrew. They're just kind of the English transliteration or whatever it is. So the first one is Hallel. So Hallel sounds like this from 2 Samuel. So these are just going to be like little single verses where they turn up in various different places. So 2 Samuel 6 is about the idea of David. David again brought together all the able young men of Israel, 30,000. He and all the men went up to Baalah in Judah to bring up from the Ark of God. Now the story is, I'm not going to read it all because it's a long chapter, but David then celebrates and goes kind of crazy in front of the Ark. He's not wearing his royal robes, he's not being kingly, he's just kind of losing himself in praise of what is happening at this particular situation. So that word Hallel, there's one translation of it, which is to shine. There's no doubt you are happy, you are just full of praise. There is a phrase that people have put on social media about you should always dance as if no one else is looking. So what would your dancing be if you were sure that no one else was looking at you, feeling, looking at you, letting yourself go? So this praise of a kind of unrestrained shining has this word Hallel. And Yahweh, Yah, is a kind of a shortened version of the word for God. So Hallelujah is where that bit comes from. So Hallel is this idea of unrestrained, excitable, free praise. Just every part of your being. Just, oh, amazing, that kind of thing. So number two, I'm going to go for it being Tehillah. It sounds like a drink, but we'll go for it being Tehillah. And it's an idea of thankfulness. So you're putting yourself in a position of thankfulness. And there's a bunch of places where this crops up, and we've got Psalm 22. You are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. Now this praise would have been thankfulness for being taken out of Egypt. It's a all-consuming, ah. Oh. So a praise of, ah. Oh. Next one, Zamar. Psalm 47, verse 6. And a load of these verses and a load of these words crop up several times, but these are decent versions of those. So, sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth, sing to him a psalm of praise. Now, that one is specifically to do with stringed instruments for some reason. Now, I don't think, oh, I was going to say a 12-string guitar. I've got one broken at the moment, so here is my 11-string guitar. But I imagine it would have been more to do with harps and lyres and all that kind of stuff. But specifically, Zamar is to do with praising with stringed instruments. So the idea of music being part of this praise was a thing that was just expected. And when you have sing praises to God, sing praises to our God, sing praises, I guess that image of angels with harps, all that kind of stuff, would have come from this word Zamar. Yada. So Exodus 17. Now this story, Exodus 17, uh, is about the time where Moses is holding his hands up in order to see a victory. And when his hands go down, they start losing. And when his hands are raised, they start winning again. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him and sat him on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So the idea of hands up being an idea of worship comes from this word yada. And also it's an act of will. I can't imagine, I mean, if just try this with me. Do one hand clapping. Right, just do this with me for a moment. Come on, Zoom, you can do it as well. And after a bit, I don't know whether you've ever figured this, but the muscles for your fingers are here. They're not in your hands at all. But after a little while, you end up feeling pain in this part of your arm. Oh, Emily's here. I was going to go all like biology and PE, but I'm not going to anymore. But this will start to hurt. And I imagine Moses having his arms... Yeah, he can stop now, unless you want to keep going. But Moses having his arms raised, that's going to hurt after a while. It's going to be lactic acid. There's going to be all sorts of stuff going on. And it's going to be that he needed some help. So his yada was almost like an act of will. Praising God and making sure that you are still there for God, even when it hurts. Even when things aren't going smoothly, even when you need help from somebody else. So praising God all the way through these times of maybe strife. Next one, Todah. I've got Psalms again. Psalms 56. And this... Ah, okay, on my version here, it doesn't even use the word praise. I think in some versions it does. I am under vows to you, my God. I will present my thank offerings to you. Thank offerings is sometimes translated as praise, and praise is sometimes translated because of this word just here. And it seems as though this is still used in Israeli folk today as their way of just saying, thank you, thanks. So it isn't that kind of all-encompassing thing from Tehillah of, oh my word, thank you. But it is, thank you. Thank you. And some of the prayers that we pray are prayers of thank you. Dear Lord, thank you that the sun's come out. Dear Lord, thank you that I found a parking space. Dear Lord, thank you that they haven't run out of milk. You know, just thank you. And some of our praise can be very, very, very straightforward and just be thank you. Now, the last one, Barak, seems to be a little bit more all-encompassing. So, Psalm 89, and it goes like this. I mean, this is a big verse. Praise be to the Lord forever. Amen and amen. This is big praise. This is on the edge to being that thing about worship. Like I said, you can praise anybody. But when this starts to move into worship, it's a different kind of feel. Now, I wonder why in the Bible there are so many words for praise. And I wonder whether we have that one word and that's it. Because actually, we don't use that word very often. So we just let it go and we have praise. There we go, all of them. So I wondered why in the Bible there are so many words. So this got me, This got me thinking about whether there are other places in the world who have different words for things. So could I have number 7, please, Laura? So, I might have to try and rely on that loading up in a second. In Iceland, there are 26 words for snow. And I guess in Iceland, they need 26 words for snow because snow is a thing that is important in their everyday life. So I wanted to find out if there was anywhere else that had more words for snow than Iceland. And the answer is Scotland. So I don't know, I'm going to get the pronunciations wrong, but if while this is playing in the background, apparently, and let's all try and use these the next time it snows, and Laura, I don't know whether you know these or not, Feefal, snow swirling round a corner, Flindrikin, a slight snow shower, Skelf, a large snowflake, Sneasel, to begin to rain or snow, Snorgust, a ghost seen in the snow. I mean, how specific is it that you need that? Blendrift, Snorbru, Glush, Groundgru. And there's loads of them. And it says 26 in Icelandic, 421 in Scots. 46 in Sami, which is Finnish. 25 in Sweden. And 40 to 50 in Inuit. But there's a bunch of different words for snow because snow in those parts of the world is pretty important. I naively just wondered whether praise has got so many words in Hebrew because it was more important in those times. And we make do with one because it's a bit of an add-on to our life. So praise can be thanks, it can be shouts, it can be music, it can be all of those things. But we lump it all in as one word because it's maybe not such an important feature. Now, I'm fully aware no one is listening to me and everyone is watching the screen. So can we have the next word up, please, Laura? Yeah. Oh, no, don't worry. Try escape. There we go. I'll talk about something else just for a moment, because this idea of we can give praise to anyone. Just a little life hack now. I used to say that was like a top tip rather than a life hack. There we go, lovely. Thank you. Give praise to anyone. So when I was at the first school I worked at, which is some like, I don't know, this tip I got would have been about 25 years ago, I suppose. And it was dead straightforward. If you've got good news to tell somebody, write it down. Send them a letter. Send them an email. So good news, write it down. Bad news, face to face. Don't tell anybody off by email. Don't tell anybody off by text or WhatsApp. If it's good news, write it down because they can read it to themselves again and they can absorb it and remember it. I mean, say it face to face as well. But if you've got good news for somebody, if you want to praise somebody, the most effective way to praise somebody is to write it down. And if you want to just like criticize, or you need to sort of say something that you didn't enjoy or you didn't like or something, then never write that down, because all that will happen is that person will then stew on it and read into it things that you didn't mean in the first place. So if you are praising people, writing it down is brilliant. If you are not praising people, writing it down is terrible. There we go. That was a little interject. That was good that I had that. So there we go. Okay, so worship. So there's four words to do with worship. Now, I haven't particularly got Bible verses for these. There are maybe stories that perhaps you can think about. And let's see if we can absorb these four words as we sing songs together to finish this service off. So the first one here, aboda. Now, aboda was the idea of it being service. So to worship God was to give God service. So aboda is translated in the Bible as the word worship. But what it originally meant was service in the temple. So it was putting yourself out to do God's stuff. Putting yourself out to do God's stuff. And that has been translated in our English versions as worship. So putting yourself out to do God's stuff. I've written that down in a minute, just as the word service. Next one, please. Latreia, I'm not sure, Latreia, something like that. Again, in the Bible, that is translated as worship, but it comes from the sense of putting yourself out for someone, offering your life to someone. And in the sense of worship, that would be offering your life towards God. So I've summed that up as the word sacrifice. So service and sacrifice. And then Romans 12, verse 1, uses a Greek word, which is a translation of a Hebrew word, which is also used in the Old Testament. So could have the next one up, please. So these two words, the first one is a Hebrew word, the second one is a Greek word, and they seem to mean similar things. And they rock up in, oh, come on, in this bit of the Bible, which I imagine is a little bit familiar to folks because it's something that Pete has used a bunch of times. And it goes like this, Romans 12. So, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So that is your true and proper worship, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That is your true and proper worship. Now, we will sing songs. We will sing songs with passion and with emotion. And that is brilliant because those things are spoken about all the way through the Bible. And I truly believe that there is some sort of spiritual connection that you get with our Creator through the use of music that can't be expressed in words. And when we sing together, we do something as a community where we've got a shared experience and shared understanding and shared memories. All fabulous. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So I've written that one down as submission. So if those three, the next one's all three words, I think. Perfect. So passionate worship doesn't need to involve guitars. But the attitude that we come towards those songs that we sing together as one that encompasses these things here. We are here to do God's bidding. We are here to prostrate ourselves, I guess, at the feet of God. And we are here to do offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now, in a bit, we'll do some songs. And the first song we're going to sing has these words in it. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. It's like a commitment to do a bunch of these things. So our worship is a case of, here I am. And the praise that we give God for being fabulous and being fantastic and the thankfulness we give him is one thing, but that submission is that act of worship which changes our God, you are amazing, to God, here I am. God, you are amazing is praise, I guess, and you can give praise to anybody. But, dear Lord, here I am, that is worship, which is the thing that only God deserves. So passionate worship, that idea of doing these things with enthusiasm, being willing to be of service to God, submitting ourselves to God, and being sacrificial towards God with enthusiasm. It's not about singing with your eyes closed. It's about here I am. And here I am with enthusiasm and passion and love and care and just wanting to experience more and wanting to be these things for the God that we love. So praise, a bunch of different words in Hebrew. Maybe it's because they understood praise better than we do. We stick with one word. Apparently, there are more words in the English language than any other language in the world because we've had different influence from different languages over the centuries. It's funny that we've only really got one word for love and one word for praise. It's almost like we're not that bothered about those things. In English, snow, sleet, slush, I kind of start to run out. In Scottish, apparently 241. Maybe we need to just be more aware that when we are praising, that is actually what we're doing, and think about the sort of praise that we're offering. Praise can be for anybody, though. Worship is just for God. Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Okay, let's sing some songs. If this becomes a time where you're just singing songs, and you're thinking of the words, and you are praising God through these words, absolutely fab. But if you find that you are actually singing them with a sense of, here I am, then I'm guessing from Romans 12, that is the sort of way that we should be singing, the way that we should be approaching the worship of our Father. So let's see if we can sing these songs with a sense of, here I am. Okay. Peace.
If you lead me, I will. the Lord of wind and flame. I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will say, finest bread I will provide, till their hearts are satisfied. I will give my life to them. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead.